Turtles!
Images you are about to see on the large screen will be generated by what's in that bag.
www.bricksandmotion.com www.bricksandmotion.com.
Stand up straight! Tuck in that shirt! Adjust that belt buckle! Tie those shoes!
Don't talk to anyone! Don't touch anything! Don't do anything! Don't interact with anyone! And try not to look at anything!
The BBIM broadcast begins!
What a piece of...
Hello, welcome to the BIM broadcast. I am Jonathan, also known as Just Kidding on the forums.
Hey, I'm Tanner, also known as Moosey J on the forums.
This is Aaron, also known as Jargon.
And I'm Sean, known as Brickhead Productions.
Yay!
Or Sean.
Yeah, or Sean, that works.
Today on the broadcast, we'll be talking about the Septemberfest results, our favourite entries, and I'll be getting some plug time.
So... September Fest contest just ended. What do you guys think about the winning entries and the entries that didn't win?
Yeah, I think all the entries that were submitted were... the quality was really across the board. There were several good ones overall. I think the judging panel as a whole was a little bit disappointed. We did only get something like 20... Was it 23 entries? Something like that. So I guess there wasn't really room for... heaps and heaps of range in the quality. 29 entries, actually.
But correct me if I'm wrong, this was actually the first month-long contest BIM has done.
As far as I'm aware, yes.
Oh, it is? Oh, wow.
So this is kind of the maiden voyage of Septemberfest.
All right.
As a contest, not as a celebration of a cult classic.
Well, of course not.
That film is classic. I'm not a fan.
No, I agree.
Edit that out. Edit it out.
No.
No.
Eh. I'm editing this bad boy, so I can put whatever I want in. I can make this look fake.
Well, I'll just go ahead and say I was a little bit surprised, to be honest, to see Small World taking third place, because I assumed it would be disqualified with the short cartoon clip.
I did think about that at first. To be honest, it was such a small section of it. I was willing to let it slide, and after the other two judges didn't point it out, I felt that decision was justified.
Fair enough. Yeah, I kind of liked Small World. Golden Camera Studios obviously has a lot of room for improvement, but it was interesting to see somebody take the micro figures from the games and animate them, as that's something we haven't really seen.
Yeah, I mean, what I think when it opened straight up and it showed the inside of the dumpster as his home, I just thought that was actually a really creative way, like making all the micro-scale furniture and whatnot.
Definitely.
I thought it was a really nice. I didn't expect him to get in the top three, though. I thought it was going to get, I knew it was going to get in the top 10, but I didn't think it would get in the top three.
The Magician's Hat, what did you guys think?
It was well done for the most part, but it had some flaws here and there. It seemed like it was mostly a copy of Mind Games, Avant Garde entry.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it was just felt like it was copying it for the most part, in my opinion. Because it was just not that much. It was just the full magician thing, I guess.
I don't know if it really is necessarily copying, because I don't really remember Mind Games entry that much. To be honest, it wasn't that memorable, in my opinion. But it didn't really focus on... I know, I love Mind Game, but this was not his best work. If I remember correctly, though, his entry didn't really focus on the Magician's Hat. So I don't know if I'd agree with you there. I was kind of surprised because I wasn't familiar with Film Fire 94, I believe his name is.
96, actually, but...
96.
I think this might actually have been his first contest. I'm not totally sure on that one, but he's definitely new on the brick filming scene and kind of making a name for himself.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I liked his use of the physical water droplets to represent the race.
Oh, yeah.
It's something that I think the more that people can integrate practical, physical, special effects into their films like this, I think that's, you know, better than most of the crappy CGI people put in their RIP films.
Yeah, I think
The
only time in a brief film I've actually seen real water droplets used for rain before was actually in Unrenewable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Emma Execute did it recently in Piano, too.
Yeah. I would have loved to see him use the rain droplets plus the actual, like, rain special effect, like, throughout the whole film. That would probably make it look a little better.
I agree.
I think
with
it was
that
the very opening scene had the overlay but didn't have the water droplets. I was a little bit disappointed that the droplets went through the entire thing. But all in all, I think he did make good use of it.
That opening shot with the cars is really impressive.
So, moving on to the first place, final film that we're discussing tonight, Baki Akeiki by the ever-increasingly prolific Emma Execute. What'd you
guys
think?
Impressive.
Yes.
It was really well done, although the ending was a bit confusing. It, in my opinion, I liked the splatting on the windows with the clay. That was...
Yes, that was one of my favorite things in it, where, although it was kind of evident that when they were in the air, they were added in Microsoft Paint or something, a similar program. The real clay being there at the end really made that effect, in my opinion.
That's true. Yeah. One of the things I praised Emma Execute for when we reviewed Piano was her use of set design and props. And I think it's really showed off here as well. And, you know, she's got a very believable kitchen. I liked the mixer, for example, the refrigerator.
That was really...
It's a well-decorated kitchen.
There is very evident in most of her work, actually. Pretty much all of it, I think. It's definitely nice to see a film where a lot of effort has been put into the background of it, where even if something on the film isn't focused on, it's still got lots of detail in it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Which is what good set design's all about, actually. Like, even if you have a window and a tree outside, it's not part of the film, but it's just nice to have it there.
I also just want to say, I really love the character design on this, because just the hair and the face and the combination, it's just great. It makes me want to smile, so that's always a plus.
Yeah.
Definitely.
The, when the kid is giving his mom the cupcake or whatever he made, and the use of the two collectible minifigure heads was really nice. I like the changing from the nurse to the cheerleader head. I thought that was really clever.
Yeah, because they are similar enough to swap around and give different expressions.
Yeah.
Because that is something I enjoy in a brick film, is when heads are swapped around to give different facial expressions. And I love it even more when the creator actually goes to the effort of getting similar-looking heads.
And with the amount of variations on a single head, and especially the double-sided heads, people don't really have an excuse not to do that today. There's so many out there and available. Look at the Atlantis sets.
It's
the stage, I think, where in older brick films, you might get the odd case of a head swapping happening, and then when it was used regularly, that was like a really special thing. And now it's kind of more commonplace, and to take it to the next step, you kind of need to go in post-production and add in lip syncing and such, like some of Old Scratch's recent work.
I don't know.
The only type of lip syncing I really like is when Old Scratch does it with the really impressive the things he does in After Effects. Those are the only kind I like. And any other kind of mouth animation, it just kind of sets me off. I don't really like it that much. I like just seeing regular minifigures. I don't know why.
I love what Old Scratch does. He does an incredible job, and the amount of work he puts into it is just amazing. But at the same time, call me traditional, but I like just having the actual printed Lego face.
You're traditional.
I
Thanks.
Were there any other entries that didn't make it in that you enjoyed?
One that I did quite enjoy, it didn't make it in, but it was Mouth. by LGFB Studios.
Oh yeah, that one was awesome.
I did quite enjoy it, although it felt to me like it was kind of two skits running back to back as opposed to one continual story.
Yeah.
Although I did quite enjoy the animation in it. Yeah, I felt it was actually had a nice cartoonish balance to it as opposed to being overly cartoonish. Which, in my opinion, complemented the music and the old-timey visuals of it.
Fair enough. It's like I said, it's been a little bit of a while since I watched this particular entry, but I seem to remember thinking that the first skit that you were talking about, it was a little bit repetitive, and so I wasn't that amused by it. But it was, yeah, it was decent.
One of my other favorites was Mosquito's Fault. It was just really nice, and I liked it.
That's one of the two that I've watched from September Fest. It was pretty good.
I actually haven't seen this one, so I'll bow out.
Well, I thought Mosquito's Fault had some really wonderfully creative sets and character design in it. Like, for example, when it does the close-up of the mosquito and you can see all of that.
Oh, yeah. When it bit the minifigure and it left a little red spot, that was really nice. I think it could have done better with pink, but of course he probably doesn't have that because it's pretty hard to find. So I thought the mosquito design was really nice.
I thought that
it was definitely a high point of the film.
Yeah, I think that I found it a little bit hard to follow because it switches back to the scenes when they're at college or school or whatever, and then at the end the guy's missing. I had to skip back and rewatch just to know what kind of happened there. So
yeah,
that was only gripe about it. It was really good.
I will
though.
Agree that the story did confuse me a bit as well.
One of my other favorites was, He's Late Again. That one was pretty nice.
Yeah, that actually, I got a kick out of that one.
The ending was quite cheesy, though.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. It was definitely fun to watch, but I'm not sure I quite get it. I mean, from what I saw, the girl nearly gets hit by a car, and suddenly she's happy that her boyfriend was late. So I'm not sure I quite get it. Maybe that's just me.
Lego minifigures have very resilient emotions. They bounce back like in seconds.
It's true.
It would have been a lot better if I had dialogue, though. Because I didn't understand until I saw it the second time too. So.
Although with that film, I really enjoyed some of the technical aspects, like the lighting, the animation was all quite nice. I quite enjoyed it. Even at the beginning, a memorable part for me was a focus pull from, I think, was a traffic light to the seat as a car went past. It was kind of a nice distraction as the focus pull was made, which I quite appreciated. I didn't quite see the point in the cameos of the Series 2 collector's minifigs.
Yeah, that seemed a little tacked on to me.
I think it would have done better if it had a mime instead of a mariachi dude, because it's like, since there's no dialogue, it'd just be a bit more fitting, I guess.
That's true. But yeah, one thing, you can tend to say about the Four Monkeys films is that they do have pretty good technical aspects. And this film was just another proof of that.
Yes. So I was a little bit disappointed in Hey Shan. Not because of the film. I actually quite enjoyed the film. But I had to disqualify it for a couple of reasons. One is that it was released before the allowed date. And two is that both Smiggle and Mind Game picked up on copyrighted music being used in it.
Oh.
So I was quite disappointed that we had to disqualify that one.
Why did Trainspotting get such a high place? I thought it was kind of...
You just went all robot there.
I think that... Oh, I was... why did Trainspotting get such a high place? Like, it got higher than I thought it would. I thought it was probably going to get, like 21st or something.
Alrighty, I'm back. Trainspotting.
Trainspotting. As the list kind of went down, it might not be as accurate because we were more concerned with the top rankings and who was actually going to be winning the prizes.
Yeah.
So, let's see, Trainspotting. I'll find my comments on that one. I actually gave it that high. I gave it 25% for story and 50 for presentation. What?
Just went robot.
The story felt a bit weak and confusing. Like why they're clones on a platform. I thought the animation was decent, but it was too fast. It felt like it was animated at a low frames per second and just sped up.
Why was fight scene by Luigi? Why was that disqualified?
Yeah, I had the same
question. It was released before the deadline.
I just wanted to mention, I was surprised by how much I enjoyed Around the House in 2080 frames.
Something that I did want to mention.
I really went into it with low expectations because I hadn't seen anything of Eddie Haskell's that I really was that into until that point. And even though it was kind of repetitive and a little bit silly, It was fun, and I found it just to be pretty enjoyable.
It just felt like a genuine brick film.
Hazat was saying in the thread that he thought it was going to get disqualified because it had words on the map. I didn't understand that at all.
I think it disqualified for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't understand. Or like, Hazat words on the computer and
really disqualified. Yeah, I wouldn't have put that in the same boat as it being dialogue as such. It did toe the line, in my opinion, but it didn't step over it.
Yeah.
Should we move on?
Well, there's one other I want to say something about.
Okay, sure.
I just wanted to mention Silence by Max Butcher. I was of a mixed mind about it because I felt like it was actually a step back from his previous film, Nightmare, which was kind of similar in that it was a departure from his usual comedy. But I liked... What's that? It was neat that he tried to do something a little bit different with eliminating sound altogether and making that part of his narrative. But at the same time, I felt like it was an experiment. I felt like it was kind of a failed experiment.
In the beginning, he makes the comment that some people say that a movie isn't complete without its soundtrack. Is that true? Can you really build an atmosphere into a story with only visuals? And unfortunately, in this case, I think the answer is no.
Oh, yeah. Snap.
I kind of agree with you there.
I did enjoy some of the technical aspects of the film. Like the camera angles and animation, but again, I found myself not really having a clue as to what was going on most of the time. I mean, maybe I'm just a bit thick, but story there, but I couldn't decipher it.
Yeah. Like I said, it was an experiment, and it failed, but kudos for you for attempting the experiment in the first place. So one of the issues on the forums lately has been the issue of constructive criticism and what that entails. There have been a couple threads in the last couple days where people have offered somewhat harsh, on the spectrum from rude to not very thoughtful reviews towards people's films. What's
one
that?
One is saying, like, he's like going he's doing like someone's idea. It's kind of rude to like be all cussing about it because you didn't like someone's idea, and he's making fun of someone's voice, and just like you don't want to do that because it scares people away from BIM, and it scrapes away their self-esteem. It's just like, why do you go about doing that?
There's even something that happened tonight with a new member. He posted up, I think, 4 or 5 different movies. And to be honest, they weren't that good. But we had a couple people jump down his throat about, these aren't real brick films, and yada, yada, yada. And it really gave him the wrong impression. And so you could say, yeah, he's taking it too seriously, but then you could also definitely say that they were being not that friendly with their welcome to Bricks in Motion. I think it's important. If you're gonna say something negative about somebody's film, talk about what they can do better. Don't just...
Instead of just being all like, your film sucks, and you did all this wrong, and you suck, and then I'm going to go away now, and like...
Yeah, you got to balance the scale on it. For like one criticism, you could have one like plus kind of thing, what you liked or how they could improve on it, you know? You don't want to just completely beat someone down and then say, it had nice music, though.
I
think one of the things it comes down to is the old adage that if you don't have something nice to say, then don't say anything. There's been a couple of times when I've seen a thread title and I'll go and have a read through it, and I just can't really think of anything that to add to the conversation or that might be taken the wrong way, and I can't really think of how else to phrase it, so I'll leave it.
I think we just need to remember, why are we here at this site? We're here because we want to be with the community of animators, get feedback on the things that we create, and to provide it for others. And if we want to get good feedback for the films that we create, one of the best ways you can do that is to offer it to other people. If you want to get crappy reviews, by all means, put up one sentence posts telling somebody they suck or what have you. You know, even you can even have good positive reviews that aren't that great because somebody just puts in "nice" with 3 smileys, and that's not that helpful of a review.
13 smileys.
13 is even worse.
I've personally always appreciated those. It makes me feel nice.
I even have some.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I even have a personal experience with giving negative feedback. And I can tell you that if you only focus on the negative stuff and mostly just bash them or something, it's not super effective at all.
Just make them want to come back and say, you don't do any better, and I just, and I'm just going to be all defensive and stuff.
So, yeah, that brings up a good point, because there is a place...
Isn't that what you do?
There is a place for negative criticism. You can... It is important to point out the things that need work. And so if you're on the receiving end of that, don't take it personally. It's the internet. Everybody says things in a way that doesn't sound the best, as well as it would in real life. So just deal with what, learn from it what you can learn, and move on. Don't That's post true. 3 times about how I'm gonna get a better camera, and I hate you guys, and it's just, there's no point.
Yeah, and that exactly. also stems from the defensive also stems from people being all mean about things. If we were to just be like, it was a little bit bad here and there, but you could improve in this way, in this way, in this way, but apparently some people don't like to do that now, do they?
Apparently not.
Nope. It does go to both sides, though. Like, on one hand, people need to learn how to give constructive criticism without just criticizing. People also need to learn how to take that constructive criticism without just being offended.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And another thing, if I may, I think even if the film is absolutely horrible, which you shouldn't tell the person, shouldn't be like you guys said, oh my god, that was horrible. But, you know, don't only focus on the negative stuff, like on what they can improve on, but you should also tell them what was actually good about the film.
Mm. Just yeah. Think about what kind of review would I like to be getting if I was the one making
it. But this was good after you say all the bad things. Just say, like, you should say, like, in between, when, like, before you say what you're saying, I guess. Like, start it off with the good things and then go to the, towards the bad things instead of saying it at the end while after you just bashed them.
It's just a little.
Well, you shouldn't be bashing.
It should be
them
a balance.
Build them up before you cut them.
Negative and good.
Yeah, yeah. No, bashing isn't the right word. So, yeah.
Disapproving.
Critiquing.
That's it.
Yeah, I guess.
So yeah, I think this is really just an example of, let's play nice with each other, let's all be decent people, and not take internet drama that seriously.
Drama.
Keep it PG, people. On the interwebs.
What's that?
Decent people on the interwebs.
Yeah. Internet, serious business.
That's what I'll title this episode. Alright, just like every other show with a guest, we have our plug time with our guest, and our guest is Sean. So, plug away.
Plug. Alright, so at the moment I'm working on really one big project. It's an entry for Tropfest, which, according to its website, is the world's largest short film festival. I don't know how that relates to, like, the Cannes films and whatnot, but anyway, it's I've been running for quite a while, and it is pretty big. The theme for this year of it is something to do with the word key. And I guess, like with a lot of words in Brick Films competitions, you're pretty much open to interpret that how you want. So that's fun. It also has a time limit of 7 minutes, but otherwise there's a lot of freedom in it. So without trying to spoil too much about it, it's basically about a toy robot who's trying to get to his key to wind himself up again.
Nice. So is there a minimum time limit on the contest, or is it just max 7 and minimum whatever?
No, it's just a maximum of 7 minutes. I think it's kind of assumed that it would be at least a minute or two, but there isn't technically a minimum time for it.
Where is Tropfest held?
It's actually an Australian contest. I think that there was a New York one, but they have a funding for it or something.
Say that again?
It's Australia-based, but I believe that there was a New York version of it, but they did not have enough funding to carry through this year, as far as I'm aware.
I see. Do you know how many people or how many entries are usually drawn in?
Oh, heaps and heaps. I think they kind of, as far as I know, they narrow it down to about 600 entries to choose from.
Wow.
But there's so many entries, it's crazy. And this year is the first year that they're accepting entries online through YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if there's even more entries than usual.
How long have you been working on this short?
I've been working on it for a couple of months now. Only recently I've started getting, like, really into doing it full time. Because for some of that I spent most of the time storyboarding, building up a roughly animated storyboard of it, to get all my timing right and figure out all the skits that I'm going to be having the robot do. Otherwise, I've gotten the live action footage for it to edit, which is... Sorry, I'll back up a bit here. Maybe we can just edit that out. I don't know.
Sure.
Anyway, so after the storyboarding, I was waiting on a prop to arrive, which was kind of an old-school red and white horseshoe magnet, which is a prop that I needed before I could start shooting, and I was waiting for that to arrive from the UK for... just over 2 weeks, I think, which was quite frustrating, not being able to start filming in that time.
Those silly Brits.
Yeah, well, it was an eBay store. I mean, worldwide shipping is pretty slow anyway.
That was for you, T-Dog. Yeah. If you're listening, that was for you.
Oh, snap!
Trollololo.
Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, anyway, so it was quite frustrating waiting for that to arrive, but I just went out and shot all the live action that I could. And it couldn't have gotten here any faster unless you go and pay an exorbitant amount for express shipping, which it was going to be like, I think it was like £40 for a tiny magnet that could just fit in an envelope for express shipping.
That's heavy.
Oh my.
Which is just ridiculous. I couldn't justify paying that just to get it a couple of weeks early.
Right.
But then once I've got the live action footage now, and I've pretty much been sitting in front of my computer day after day editing it forever.
Aren't you?
The deadline for the film is the 6th of January 2011, and I estimate that I've got about 3 months worth of work to fit in before then. It's just for podcast reasons. It's currently the 10th of November.
Ah.
Really?
Aren't you
in Australia?
You're crazy. It's the ninth.
Yeah, well, you know, Australians are like the future.
Yeah. Do you have flying cars?
So what happens tomorrow?
We do. You guys will be getting them tomorrow.
Yes. Are they expensive?
They're reasonable. They're probably what you'd expect.
So more expensive than shipping a magnet.
So something I can afford.
Slightly. Then again, if you had a flying car, you could probably just hand deliver the magnet.
That's a good point. So you had a question.
So,
or did you?
Just say what now?
It sounds like you had a question
on the project. I can talk about it if you want. But.
Do you have anything else to plug?
Didn't you?
Go ahead.
I'm trying to say something.
Okay, sure. Another project that I want to start on next year after this robot film's over and done with, and while I'm at university, it's an idea I've got for a series, which I think would be nice to kind of sidetrack myself from uni every now and again. The basic premise is it's a vlog of a minifigure and his life, and
his acting career.
A lot of opportunities to cameo various. Yeah, it would give lots of opportunities to cameo other brick films, like as producers or actors and whatnot.
I think that's a pretty funny premise.
I think it could be a fun thing to work with.
I gotta say, I like the premise because actors are just kind of ridiculous people, and it's comedy material, like Gold.
Is this minifigure's
exactly.
name?
Exactly, I've just got the special effects type thing, and just really play up any of the dramas that an actual actor might have.
Are you going to go for a sympathetic approach to the character, or are you just going to make him a jerk, or what?
No, I think he's going to be a standard, likeable character. Like he's a decent actor. He's not absolutely incredible, but he's definitely got enough skill to get by.
Gotcha.
He will be. Well, I hope he will be likable.
Yeah.
But I want to develop his own personality to an extent that I can give him like his own Facebook page and Twitter and such. Give him like almost a real world presence.
You should make him a jerk and horrible actor.
Yeah, but I haven't started on that. I haven't scripted anything. The idea is just kind of formulating in the back of my mind, so it may or may not change an awful lot in the time until I actually start on it, if I do, which, as my projects tend to go, I get a big idea and then I never get the time to go through with it. But I really hope to do something with this.
Well, it sounds like it has a lot of promise.
It does sound like that.
Anything else want to add? Anything? Anybody else want to add anything?
Nope.
We should probably get this on iTunes soon.
I'm pretty much done.
Yeah, we definitely should, like, do that.
Do you have to set up, like, an RSS for that, or what?
Alright, that's all the time we have for tonight, folks. We will be back, hopefully, next week. And thanks for listening.
We'll be lazy again.
Yeah. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, show up outside of our houses taking pictures through the windows.
That's always welcome.
Stalking us and being creepy and...
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for listening. Have a nice evening,
afternoon, bios.
Or morning.
This concludes the BIM broadcast. The
podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by BricksMotion.com or the Leon Company.
Hello? Hello? Oh, good, they've gone. Well, in that case,
It's time
for the Max Butcher moment.
This week on the Max Butcher Moment, Max Butcher says... I never managed to find the second place in a beauty contest chance card ever again.
That was the Max Butcher moment.
The end.